This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And we are here. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And it's 100 years of WTIC we get to celebrate. So we're excited about that.
Happy 100.
Yeah. Hope 100 more. We'll see how that goes. Who knows what radio will look like in 100 years from now. Probably the only thing we have to communicate. You know, well, some steampunk version of America out there, and all we have is transistor radios communicating with each other.
Well, I imagine 100 years ago, they didn't know where we would be now with radio.
Of course not. So. Yeah, so here we are. And we are all broadcasting live over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on the old Facebooks, and Zuckerberg, hopefully, will deem it worthy, and you can check us out there. But as usual and customary, we have news hopefully you can use, or maybe not. Who knows? We just think it's interesting in the IT world. And Dennis, you had some stuff we should warn people about, right?
Yes, this is kind of a warning story.
Mm, yeah.
It concerns dating apps that are owned by this group called Match Group. Mm. The apps that are under this umbrella are, of course, Match.
Yep.
And Tinder and Hinge, mm-hmm. and I think Plenty of Fish, and there might even be something else.
Plenty of Fish?
Or Plenty of Fish, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Right.
At any rate.
I guess that's true.
The issue here is that people will report other users if they've, you know, abused or even attacked somebody.
Right.
And they actually, the company, the broad company that owns all these apps, mm-hmm. actually collects all these reports.
Yep.
They'll look to see which account is attached to whoever got reported.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
That's a good start.
And they collect this information.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, number one, they don't always ban these users in the first place.
Wait a minute. So they know they're bad people and
yes.
they then still leave them on the app for other members to bump into.
Yes.
Ugh.
And number two, even when they do, you know, knock off one of these accounts and say, all right, you're done,
mm-hmm.
go away, they don't implement measures that are sufficient to keep the person from signing up again.
Ay, ay, ay.
And in some cases, they sign up with the same app.
Yep.
With
same
a lot
email.
Of the same demographic information, like mm-hmm. their email address, their date of birth.
Maybe and the even same credit card.
Well, yeah, and same profile pic.
Jeez. Mm,
and there isn't any really good matching going on to prevent that.
That's pretty scary.
And again, it's supposed to work across all of their apps. Mm. Once you're reported in all of them because they have this one common database.
Right.
But they don't implement the database very well, apparently, and they don't have a good algorithm for preventing people from signing up again.
And this is a story in where you find it?
The story is in a nonprofit news site called The Markup. It's based in California.
All right.
But here the cognate for that would be Connecticut Mirror.
Okay.
A similar kind of outfit.
Only Dennis would use the word cognate. The cognate. All right.
At any rate, sure. I think this is an important story and people need to know about it.
Definitely. I mean, we have a friend who's been on these apps besides what you're talking about, just the pics that people send to people. I couldn't believe it, what she is getting for just pics and why you'd send a pic of that.
That I don't get that either.
Yeah.
It's
bizarre. And she's like, yep, basically it's like a 6 out of 10. We'll do that. It's like
6 out of 10.
Wow. It's a lot of pics of things you don't want to see. I mean, unbelievable why you would think that'd be a thing, but it is. So in this case, you report any kind of abuse, they don't really do anything about it. And this is the same problem with the whole access to kids and porn. This is the whole thing about accessing sites you shouldn't be accessing and how you manage the users. And it's ridiculous that we can't do that, especially at a paid site like those where you'd put a credit card in. And
that's true, too.
Yeah, it's easily.
There is a free level of service with this, with these apps.
Yeah. Well, but, not very much, though.
Right. You don't get a whole lot out of it.
Right.
But so
not that I would know.
A lot of the predators are people who are paying for the app.
Yeah.
And that opens up a lot more connections for them. And that's what they're exploiting.
Right.
They're actually using these apps to hunt.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So we'll put the link up there for that story and you can read it at your leisure. Other news that I came across, this is an energy news. Now, I was listening recently. I guess finally the state of Connecticut is going to talk about maybe improving how we get energy here because it's ridiculous. I really don't have any details.
Do we really need to improve our energy?
Yeah, I don't know, Dennis.
Things are okay.
Things are fine.
I mean, we just pay almost the highest bills in the country.
Yeah.
For poor electrical service. But I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that, Dennis? Yeah. Well, it's the government we deserve. So data center energy demand in Virginia has doubled in the second half of 2024.
Doubled?
Doubled for data centers. So this is the thing, right? All you guys want to be able to use AI. They're using now 40 gigawatts of energy. And that was only 21 gigawatts in 2024. And there's 26 gigawatts worth of data center demand that they're going to be looking at coming down the line. So, again, here in Connecticut, there is some sort of weird push to get data centers in Connecticut. But we don't even know how energy works. We don't even know how electricity works.
Yeah.
And so these politicians are like, yeah, let's be the data center capital of the world. Let's do that. Let's attract data centers here. Guys. You're not going to do it with windmills and solar. You're not going to get a lot of hamsters on a wheel. But guys, natural gas, let it come through. Let's fire up some plants. Turn on some nuclear power plants.
Well,
let's go.
I was going to say, we have nuclear power plants that aren't being used to capacity.
Right. And you can't – the way Eversource works and, of course, the whole other public benefit baloney that we're all paying for too – it's got to stop. And, you know, we have to work on lowering costs for everybody. And obviously, when you talk about inflation and eggs and all that fun stuff, yes, bird flu is causing an issue. But the base cost of everything we do is energy. And if we're the highest cost, everything starts there.
Right. And the worst part of it is the utility that we do have thinks that it's being persecuted by the state, despite the fact that they've been awarded the ability to charge almost the highest rates in the nation.
Right.
They consider that persecution.
Nutty.
Do you really want to depend on that company for your electricity if you're going to build a data center?
Right. I highly doubt it.
I don't think I want to go there. No.
And then there's ideas floated out there about having the state buy this entity. Now, having the same people run a power plant that couldn't actually manage our finances, and it took a bunch of snot-nosed kids from Yale to go back and look and say, hey, guys, we're the worst in the nation about how we manage our money. You want the same people to run a power plant? I mean, that's just insanity multiplied.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, obviously that won't be a good idea. What you need to do is attract, what is it? Competition. Create a market. Oh, my goodness. What a concept. And even if you think about the market that's been created to actually buy energy, I mean, I get my energy from Texas, right? But it's only a third of my bill. The most expensive part of my bill is the infrastructure, which is, you know, the poles, the 40-foot pieces of wood in the ground, and the public benefits, right? That's like 66% of my bill. The actual energy generation is tiny,
right?
Compared to the rest of it. So,
right.
I mean, I think we all should consider, you know, adopt a highway. We should adopt a pole. I really think that towns should adopt a pole and adopt your poles and kick the folks out of there and maintain them yourself. I mean, there's got to be a market or a way to think out of the box about this process, because it's insane and we're paying through the nose. And it's,
yeah.
And so here in Virginia, they're about to figure out how to get another 26 gigawatts online after it's already doubled.
Yeah.
And it won't be in solar and wind. I'm sorry.
No.
It'll have to be base energy, nuclear and natural gas. And we've got plenty of both if you want. So,
right.
But we haven't had anybody build anything for I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So we'll see what happens. But AI can't, according to us, AI can't flourish without enough energy. But according to the Chinese, you can do it with a couple of, Pi. What is it? The little Pi there.
Raspberry Pi.
Get a Raspberry Pi going in a Pentium. We'll get it. We don't need a lot of power. A couple AA batteries, and here's your AI with DeepSeek. But it's a mess. What else you got there?
I've got a story about Microsoft behaving badly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They used to host a page, a web page called How to Uninstall Edge. Because apparently there are people that want to uninstall Edge.
First thing I wanted to do when I got my new computer.
Oh, absolutely. You got to get that ripped out, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so they created this page to uninstall Edge.
Mm-hmm.
But the content of the page didn't tell you how to do that.
Mm.
What it told you is it gave you information comparing the performance of Chrome and Edge. So it was actually trying to market Edge to you. Now, they were caught doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They took the page offline. It's gone now.
Of course.
So instead of, fessing up and saying, all right, well, here's how to remove Edge.
Mm-hmm.
No, they wouldn't even do that. So they just yanked it.
Yeah. Just imagine if you're searching for that, you come across the page and you're like, oh, maybe I do want to keep it.
And
these are not the droids you're looking for. Thank you, Microsoft.
Also, while we're on the subject of uninstalling Edge, I don't recommend uninstalling it.
No.
And I'm going to tell
you
why.
Just ignore it.
Number one, you always, no matter what browser you prefer, whether it's Chrome or Brave or something else, and if you use that all the time, that's fine.
Right.
But you always want an alternative browser to use in case some website just doesn't work right with the one you like.
Right.
Because there's always a chance that might happen.
Yeah.
The other thing is a lot of programs that you install on the computer are going to depend on Edge being there, because it'll assume that it's on a Windows computer.
Right.
And some programs will actually make what are called API calls to the Edge renderer that's, built into your system.
Yeah.
And if it isn't there, the app can break or just doesn't work right or something like that. I would just leave Edge there. If you don't want to use it, don't use it, but just leave it there.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. I know it's another, French toast emergency, but feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. We'll do our best to help you out. And we're back. This is Computer Talk, and it's Valentine's season, so there's your theme, I think, from Carolyn. Let's go to your calls. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Three lines wide open, and we're going to go to Bob first. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I got a question about Proton Mail. I mean, it might happen in other email servers, too. I don't know.
All right.
But I was having a bunch of contracts signed, sent to me that I had to sign.
Yeah.
And they were coming in under the same header, basically. And they would say, oh, we sent you another contract. You got to sign. And I would look. I said, I can't find it. I can't find it. Send it to my other email address. And then they would say, okay, we sent you another one to Proton Mail. And I said, oh, I ain't got it. But then went back into Proton Mail, and I noticed next to the header that there's a little number that would say 5, 6, 7. It was growing.
Yeah.
And that's where it was. Is there a way to prevent Proton Mail to keep stop it from going under that same header or whatever you want to call it?
Well, yeah, that's generally called something called conversation view.
Right.
And it's okay. A way of threading things together. There's a way to turn that off in Proton Mail. We can post an article about it, but there's just a setting that you can use in their app or their website to turn that off.
It's handy and it's not, right? You're right. Yeah. Especially if you get regular responses from different vendors, you know,
right.
An update on a statement that you get every month, it'll still be under that conversation. So you're like, where is that? Where is that last, the latest one? You got to try to find the latest one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a view setting.
It is an annoyance. And at Tab, we sometimes get people asking how to turn it off.
Yeah, it's a feature.
But usually that's in Outlook.
Right.
But in this case, Proton Mail has their own way of turning that off.
Yeah, we'll find the link for you to show you how to do that, Bob. We'll put it out there at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show, which also works.
Yeah. Well, I was in the middle of buying a house, you know, 2,000 miles away. They're sending me all this stuff, and I don't have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's driving me nuts.
Well, that's...
Oh, I get it. Trust me. I always turn it off in any email client that I'm using.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's all done with, but I want to know for future reference, you know.
Yeah, we'll find that for you. We'll have you turn it off, and then you're going to complain about your email being separate, but that's okay.
No, I don't mind one bit. Believe me, when they're trying to send me emails and I can't find them, and,
I know.
And you're trying to do this stuff real quick. And
yep. So are you heading south?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Going to Texas.
Texas. All right. Congratulations.
Well, we were going to Florida. Then my son in Texas called me. He says, we're having a baby. He says, well, I guess my wife wants to go to Texas to be with the grandchildren.
That'll do it.
All right.
All right, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Heading south for the grandkids. They're quite an attraction. My wife doesn't even have any yet. The kids aren't even married yet. They're all engaged. And she's like, when are you going to have a kid? I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, in the right order.
First
honey.
Things first.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right order. Yes. Married first, then maybe get a house, then maybe have a kid. Proper order tends to be the best when it comes to long term success. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open for you. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Dennis has an article about concerns, I'll tell you. AI, huh?
AI, yes.
Concerning. It's
very concerning.
Mm.
There's a study by none other than Microsoft.
What?
Microsoft.
Yes. Okay.
In conjunction
with somebody that knows about this subject besides Microsoft or no?
Well, I'm sure that they paid a research company to do it.
All right, okay? go ahead. I shouldn't get this is just too funny.
This is hilarious. At any rate, the problem is that the use of AI will actually atrophy your brain and make you more reliant on it.
Right.
And there's a quote in the study where somebody says, I already feel like I've lost some brain cells.
Mm-hmm. Makes you dumber.
It makes you dumber. And off the air, we were talking about GPS dependence.
Yes, I'm a GPS zombie. That's what it's called, being a GPS zombie. I can't get from point A to point B without my GPS telling me where to go. I don't even know east, west, north, south. If you told me which way to go, if I had to go north, to save my life, I couldn't do it without GPS. I mean, maybe if the sun's up, I can take a shot. So, but we're getting dumber and dumber, according to already AI is causing problems.
Yeah, and I was going to say, things like ChatGPT are not that old.
Right. Remember your brain on drugs? This is your brain on AI. We're going to start seeing those commercials. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. I know it's a French toast emergency out there. You're getting your eggs, milk, and your bread before the big snow. But if you have an IT issue, you'd like us to help. You know, Dennis and I dragged our butts in here out of bed early.
Right.
And a couple of pasty white computer geeks here to help you out. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we have four lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, anything technology related. We were talking a little bit about AI making us dumber. And this is a Microsoft study that your brain's atrophying when you start using AI. And then there's a story on the Register as well that talks about, again, these attorneys. Now, look. You know, like the guy who's getting rid of your timeshare, I'm not an attorney either, but I don't mind attorneys. But you guys can't be so lazy. These lawyers are facing the wrath of a judge because, again, they're using ChatGPT and it's hallucinating and making up fake cases. It's citing literally made up out of whole cloth cases, and they're trying to use it in support of their case having to do with a...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, a hoverboard catching fire. But the point is, what are you guys doing? You know, counselor, we're paying you for your brains, and then maybe yours are atrophying too if you're using AI to come up with your case arguments. And if you're using ChatGPT, really, I could do that too. You know, right? And talk about serving yourself. If my lawyer is just going to bring up ChatGPT, I don't know that I want that lawyer anymore.
Right.
And This is a problem, and it came up with eight of them.
Eight fake cases. Fake cases.
And this is, again, part of model collapse. This is, again, the garbage that AI can produce. We have a long way to go. And, you know, we talked about just a couple of weeks ago about the hope of solving cancer and taking AI with this new initiative where you had, you know, the head of Oracle, the SoftBank guy, and then I think his name is Altman from ChatGPT.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah,
coming out and saying they want to spend $500 billion on that solution, which would be wonderful if you could actually solve cancer. But guys, you can't even, it's citing fake cases. I don't want it to find fake cancers either and fake solutions for it as well.
Right.
And these cases then become part of the thing they go look at again. And these cases are now made up and they're in the ether, right? They're in the ether interwebs, right? Now AI itself is going to go back and look at AI cases that are artificial to then recite them again. So you won't even know what's real and what's not real if you're using artificial intelligence. So I guess there's a guy at Morgan & Morgan, and we've seen that law firm, that they are going to change or make some warnings for their attorneys to say, look, it's AI. Make sure you actually check your stuff before you put it out there. We'll put the link to the story, but we've had these stories before. These stories are not new.
Yes, we have. Right. This isn't new, which is why it's remarkable now that it's still happening.
Right.
And there was even an example with eight fake cases.
How lazy are you going to be?
You've got to be way out of it in order to let things go that far.
And again, the whole idea of trust but verify, you're not even going to take a second to confirm the AI got you something real. You don't realize. I mean, how many other, so here's the other thing, right? So how many other cases are these guys arguing that are using fake cases where they're going to lose by default because their brain clearly is atrophying? They haven't used their noodle.
Right.
To find, I mean, every law client I go to see, they have this big stack of books of all the cases, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know if they'd open them or not, but in the old days they opened them and then they would cite cases from that. And maybe obviously you can go on maybe LexisNexis and that kind of stuff to get the information.
And Westlaw.
Yeah, Westlaw. Yeah. Why would you Google it through ChatGPT? You know, come on, man. That's just crazy. So we'll put this link up here to that story and you can read it and weep. Let's go to Tom in Harwinton. What's going on, Tom?
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Okay. I wanted to talk to you about the Brave browser. I used to use Firefox, and it was just so slow. It was pathetic. So I switched to Chrome. Chrome was fast. Then when I got a new computer, they put Brave on, and I kind of played with it, but I stayed with Chrome. Then Chrome seemed to be getting slow. I went over to Brave, and for 2 years, I've been using Brave, and it's really fast.
Yep.
Now, Brave doesn't seem to be working very fast. I did a speed test on both browsers, and they're both coming in around 470, 480 megabits, and I'm paying for 500. So I'm assuming it's the browser and not my connection. Hmm. When I open things using using Brave, sometimes they'll open quickly like they should. Other times I'm sitting here, you know, watching paint dry. It's unbelievable. Is there a reason why this is happening?
Yes. It's a misnomer to do a speed test to see if your browser's fast, number one.
Right, okay. Because that isn't going to measure the browser's rendering speed.
Right.
Okay.
So when you use Brave, the benefits of Brave is that it's going to block a lot of the cookies that monitor you, a lot of the tracking, even the ads. And so what's happening is the sites you're going to are saying, oh, this is Brave. And it's trying to process some of that stuff, I suspect, and is being kind of stopped or bogged down because of the built-in benefits that it offers you. And that's why it seems slower to you.
I see what you're saying. Now, when I start up the computer, this is a desktop, Windows 10. When I start up the computer in the morning, the first thing I do is I open Chrome, and it comes up quickly. And then I click into the search because what comes up is my home page is like that. I don't even know what you call it, but it's got all those tiles on it where you can quickly just go to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Your favorites. So
I click in the search, and I constantly search for certain thing, and I bring that up, and then I jump over, and I click on Brave to launch that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting.
But you've got Chrome up as well already?
Yeah.
So your machine.
I mean, if I do it the other way, Eric, it doesn't matter. It's still very slow to launch Brave.
Yeah. What kind of resources does your machine have? What are we talking about here? How old is this thing?
I would guess, without pulling out the paperwork, it's probably 5 years old. It's it's up to date, you know, with all the software. I believe it's a four-core computer.
Four cores. Now yeah. Processors are 20 cores, if that tells you anything. Yeah. Technology moves rather fast, and these browsers are designed always for the latest, never the way they designed deepfake for the Raspberry Pi. They always design it for the real beefy system. So my guess is your resources are getting a little long in the tooth in that they don't have the horsepower. Maybe you need some RAM. Are you running on a spinny hard drive or a solid state?
No, it's solid state. I believe I got 16 gig of RAM.
That's not bad. But again, these browsers are just big hogs when it comes to they operate.
They are. They're expected to be workhorses.
Yeah.
But, you know, all things considered, if I'm doing something in Brave and it seems to be slow, if I go over to Chrome, sometimes it's faster. Not always. Sometimes even Chrome is dragging its feet. And that's where I was thinking, I don't know, maybe the machine's getting old.
It is. It's part of the process. Have you cleared the cache on your browsers to kind of get it kind of freshened by just doing those processes?
Clearing cache, does that force me to log into all the sites I'm logged into?
Depends on what you clear.
Well, okay. What you're doing is you're clearing the cache the browser holds of those sites. So you don't need to log into them all.
All right. So
there's something you can do that, you know, you get logged out of everything. I guess that's when you get rid of cookies. That's what it is.
Yes.
And I do clear the cache. To be honest with you, I don't see any difference.
Okay. And well, again, back to the machine. Do you reboot the machine? Do you start fresh every morning? Is that machine just sitting there?
I boot fresh every morning, and I leave it on all day, but I put it into sleep mode when I'm not using it. And at the end of the day, I do a shutdown.
All right, good. So you are bringing it up fresh. Yeah. But believe it or not, a shutdown is less powerful than a reboot. Sometimes there's a cached mode of the machine that actually doesn't really do as much as a restart does, ironically.
When you say restart, you're referring to bringing it back up from sleeping?
No, I'm actually saying to go to the button and
reboot.
Do a restart. Yeah, do a restart rather than a shutdown, because the shutdowns sometimes go into these cached modes again and are not as fresh as you think they are.
Right.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, what happens is it keeps your RAM cached.
Right.
And then when it comes out, it comes back up, it just loads that same RAM into memory, so you're back where you were when you shut off.
Right. So restarting, believe it or not, is more of a fresh reload than a reboot, if you can believe that.
At the end of the day, I want to shut the machine down. You're saying do a restart?
Yeah, I'm saying do a restart to see if your performance improves, to see if that helps you. So bring your machine up and you deal with your slow browsers. Just do a restart. And see if that improves your performance.
But if I do a restart at the end of the day when I want to go to bed, isn't it just going to restart the machine and then it's back on?
It would, yeah, in that case. And then you could shut it down after that.
And then shut down.
Yeah. Yes, that's what we're talking about.
I find it to be slow during the day, like right now, for instance, I could do a restart?
Yep.
That's a better, fresher, believe it or not, load. It's counterintuitive, but that's welcome to Microsoft. That's exactly what you wouldn't expect. But they have this cached quick boot process that you'd have to disable for that to not occur. And most by default, this type of stuff is enabled by default.
Right.
All right. Next time I have this problem, then I'll just do a restart and see if it solves the problem.
And if it doesn't, upgrade your machine. Get a new machine.
Well, I'm going to have to, because in October they're, you know, phasing out support for Windows. So.
Well, they are, but you can.
Or Windows 10. Windows 10.
You can see if yours is Windows 11 compatible.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
If it's not,
because
it's
every
old.
Time I do the updates, it tells me it's not able to convert or update.
Then it's older than 5 years old.
I would guess it's probably 5.5.
More like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
No, it's not that old. Right. No, it might be 6, but it's not 7 or 8.
Okay.
No.
Well, most of the processors that age. Mm. Are Windows 11 capable? So
that's why we think
there's
it's older.
Something. Either it's
maybe it was
older,
an older version of Windows.
Well, it's a hardware thing.
It's hardware.
Oh, yeah.
And it may be that perhaps the machine is just 5 years old, but at that time maybe this was an older processor,
right?
That happens. Was just working its way through the supply chain.
Older gen
processor that was still, you know, hanging around. So somebody shoved it into a motherboard.
Yeah, get a nice 14th gen CPU, 16 to 32 gigs of RAM if you can afford it. Solid state drive again, and you will be in good shape, and you'll be calling us saying it's just so fast, you can't believe it.
I'm tired of the speed.
Exactly. You're getting so much done.
Yeah.
All right, Tom?
Okay. All right, you can go back to talking about your cats and kids now.
Oh, no. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I called just to give you something to do because
we like
nobody's calling in.
No, they're all getting their milk, bread, and eggs.
Yeah. You know, they can't afford eggs.
All right, Tom. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. Four lines open on this going to be snowy afternoon here. 860-522-9842 is the number. And, of course, if you're in D.C. and you're Googling a criminal attorney, I heard that's up 400%. You need a fast browser for that. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Still four lines wide open, but we got things to talk about. If you guys don't want to talk with us, we can deal with it. We can handle it. We can handle rejection. I know the music sounds like we can't, but we can. So Dennis has a story.
Yep.
That you really can't believe it, but it's true.
Yeah. Now, and it is something that we've alluded to a couple times in the past. The North Koreans need money, obviously.
Yes.
Because they got to fund their weapon programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the scams that they do is they'll have people that pose as candidates for IT jobs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they'll actually, you know, apply online for jobs. They'll go through interviews and a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll actually start working for a business, usually in the United States.
Right.
But some of them are also working for European firms.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, they start making money for the regime.
Right.
Doing that.
But that's the minor reason they're in there. The reason they're going to ransom the place.
Well,
they
can also stage cyber attacks either on the business that they're working for or right. other businesses.
Right.
Sometimes they don't do anything to the business that they're connected
with. Right.
They are exploring elsewhere.
Yeah.
At any rate, just recently, someone in Arizona pled guilty to operating a laptop farm. And what that did is it allowed North Korean workers to remote in to these laptops based in Arizona so that they had a U.S. IP address.
Look completely legit.
And it would look to any companies they apply to or work for that they're based in the United States, right in Arizona.
Right.
And it's somebody who, I guess, was being paid by the North Korean government to do this.
You can't make it at some lady, right?
Yeah, her name is Christina Marie Chapman.
Unbelievable.
And she was doing this for quite a while, I guess, several years.
Thanks, Christina.
And it generated the whole scheme in total generated $17 million.
They paid her $17 million?
No, the entire scheme netted that much. And apparently, well, she would have gotten a share of that,
yeah.
I'm sure. But that was the scope of that particular scam.
And the insanity of this is, look, if you're a company, do not let your new worker use their own computer, which is what these people would be doing from North Korea. The laptop farm would have been the machine they used to actually connect. Now, I guess you could have shipped your laptop to her in that address to have the host your company laptop for the North Korean. I guess that's possible.
Yes. I think some of that was happening. But they were also using the laptops just to apply for the jobs that they would later
yes,
get.
But the next step is
they had to pose the company's laptop in somewhere in the United States, and that could happen this way.
Right. So she was doing probably both sides of this equation. So here's the thing, right? So are our laws strong enough to put little Christine away for a long time? Or are we just going to slap her on the wrist and say, oh, you're a clever girl. Nice job working with the North Koreans. What are we going to do? Is there anything about the penalty phase of that, Dennis, that you read?
Well, I don't know if she's been sentenced yet.
Mm.
Oh, she's scheduled to be sentenced in June.
Yeah, but we don't know where that'll be. Right. I hope she goes away for a long time. I mean, these types of crimes have to be seriously punished. And you're setting up a laptop farm for North Koreans. You're really not someone we would like to have you know, out in our society. I think being locked up in Leavenworth, breaking rocks, I mean, maybe it's bring back breaking rocks, you know, is something we should be doing because this kind of stuff has to be stopped. So I hope she goes away for a long time. Because, again, you don't want some North Korean in your business. And, again, these guys do a great job of tricking you.
Yeah, they do.
So they use AI to do it.
They use AI to do it. And as a matter of fact, there was a security expert who almost hired two of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to penetrate their...
They actually did hire another...
Right. That's a different item.
Yeah.
This is a security expert in Poland who was hiring workers. Mm. And twice he detected fake North Koreans.
Real North Koreans. He detected
them before he hired them.
Yeah. They're real North Koreans.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Let's go to David and Vernon next. What's happening, David?
Oh.
Hey.
Sorry. I had you on speaker.
It's okay. I can hear you. Go ahead. Hello.
So... I had a laptop and I used that, and I regularly would do like a defrag and a shutdown and think some of the stuff that you were talking about with a prior caller.
Are
the same things necessary for a tablet? Because that's where I primarily do most of my work.
A tablet, like an Android-based or an Apple-based tablet?
Android.
Android-based. Typically, no.
No, it shouldn't be needed.
Why?
Well, it seems to run very well. I mean, you things that help speed up Androids happen to do with like how many text messages you're keeping in strings and cleaning that type of stuff out. You can clear browser cache, but the operating system is pretty zippy.
It is. And it's meant to be, and it's meant to not let the cache build up because an Android device has a whole lot less space than a Windows computer does.
Yeah.
So... It does manage that stuff differently.
But long text strings you keep going on for years and years and years, those things can really slow down phones because they got to maintain all that kind of stuff. You probably don't have that in a tablet. But you shouldn't have to do much maintenance at all. Other than browser cache, you shouldn't have to do much on your Android tablet.
Perfect. Thank you, my gentleman.
All right. Thank you, David.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm looking forward to Android laptops that are going to be coming out to really replace the Chromebooks. That's going to be a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. David and Willington, hang on. Three lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.